Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. Don't you long for each other? Every Saturday night, you should be longing for Sunday morning. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Paul, the apostle, is talking about people that he birthed in the kingdom, raised up in the kingdom, people he helped disciple in the kingdom, people he helped plant in the family of God. He's saying, you're my joy and my crown. It's just the way it feels. And so it's a spiritual thing that we follow men and women of God, and we're their crown. We're in heaven. We're known as their crown. Pretty strange, isn't it? But it's special. It's special that we have leaders in the body of Christ. It's special that we can honor someone above us. It's special. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I've thought that in my life many times, that you know what? I owe it to those who went before me to stand fast, to hold tight, to be strong, to overcome. I owe it to my mentors in the Lord. I owe it to my leaders, my pastors in the Lord. I owe it to my teachers in the Lord. Man, I owe it to them to live up to it.
Right.
It's not enough to just sit there and listen to people. It's not enough to just get an education. It's about living it. So stand fast in the Lord. So you who have been in Houston Faith Church longer than a month, you stand fast in the Lord.
Amen.
You hold
Amen.
Tight till the end. You better overcome.
Amen.
Because I'm going to get to heaven looking for you.
That's right.
I think in heaven you're going to stand before the Lord. I've always envisioned this. You stand before the Lord, each and every one of us individually. We stand before the Lord and we assess things that went on. And I just hope that nobody that's been here, that the Lord looks at them and says, who was your pastor? I think that's how it will be for some. And that'll be their chance to admit, well, I didn't really have one. Well, I didn't really stay long enough. I had 10,000 of them. Verse 2, I implore Yodia. I implore Yodia. And happy you will be. And Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Syntyche, that's... That's as good as any other pronunciation. I implore these two folks to be of the same mind in the Lord. He's calling them out. He's heard that they had a little thing. He's like, y'all need to agree. Get together and put your heart on the table and y'all link up together and have the same mind in the Lord. That's legal for us to command, you know. Listen, this is an example. This is an example. It's Syntyche. It's Syntyche. This is a... You can't find a better one. Syntyche? It's not Syntyche. Syntyche? No, it's Syntyche. All right. Y'all can Google it later. Don't do it now. Don't mess around now. Okay, now this is an example of... Let's just say this. And there's many, many ways that this could happen for you in the Bible. But let's say you're going through something in the earth, you got a conflict with somebody, you got an argument, a discussion, you got a disagreement, you got something where you're not on the same page with somebody that's important in your life. And you can't just say, well, they're not going to be important to me anymore. You can't just discard people. You got to figure this out. And that's why he's saying, y'all got to get together in this. So this is an example of how you can allow God to lead you in a relationship. So you sit here, you're conflicted, you're not feeling good, your heart's, oh, it's just bothering you. you got something going on with somebody and you say, Lord, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Well, stop looking up and look in the Bible.
Amen.
And you look in the Bible and you start reading. Let him just talk to you through the Word. So just start reading the Bible somewhere, particularly maybe in the New Testament, maybe not, but probably in the New Testament. Start reading something, or really anywhere. And you start reading and you're like, you get to this verse too. So he's imploring these two people to be of the same mind in the Lord. And instantly the Spirit says, you need to be of the same mind. Just compromise. Just let your selfish opinion subside a bit and go make up. And so all of a sudden the Bible just told me what to do.
Amen. Good word. Good word.
Now you can do the, you know, okay, Lord, talk to me somewhere. I have raised my hand in a note. No. You can do that maybe once or twice in your life, but probably not the best way to get led by the Holy Spirit. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but yet it's not about, just decide I'm going to go read the Bible, and he'll help you find the right place somehow.
That's right.
You know, somebody will land on the Judas went and hanged himself. Or your finger will land in Leviticus, and you're like, oh, I know it ain't that one, and I don't like that one either. And same, and I don't do it that way. It's not guesswork. Don't flip coins. Don't play games. You know, it's not about this superstitious thing, but just trust the Lord that the Holy Spirit will help you find your way.
Amen.
And He can use scriptures like this about somebody else to direct you, but it has to be empowered or enlightened by the Holy Spirit. There's got to be a touch of the Spirit on something if it's to lead your personal life in a similar fashion. All right, verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. I think some translations say fellow laborer, true companion, fellow laborer. That's important in the gospel, that we labor together. We think of each other as co-laborers, fellow laborers. We're working together. That's the way we see it. We're working this together. This is not a show of just a few. This is all of us working together. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. There is a book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're saved, your name is in it. If you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your name's in it. We don't know exactly how God manages the book, but he does manage it, right? Like he knows who's going to be saved. I don't know if your name's already in there before you get born again, or if it gets written in there when you get born again. Who knows? It doesn't really matter, but there is a book, and it's got names in it of those that are his.
Amen.
And it's also possible that your name gets blotted out. Jesus said you have to overcome, and if you do, I won't blot your name out. That means to overcome this life by faith. It means to overcome and keep your faith in Jesus Christ all the way till the end.
Amen.
But it is possible for a name to get blotted out. So salvation is very, very secure. If you believe in Jesus and want to be saved, your salvation is very secure. But if you ever decided you didn't want Jesus or didn't believe in Jesus, then there is some blot, there's some liquid paper in heaven. The glory, though, is that our names are in the book of life.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Glory. Glory. Rejoice in the Lord always. Listen, that's the life of a true Christian. A true Christian ought to always be able to rejoice in the Lord. Even in the midst of the worst day of your life, you can sit there and go, well, praise the Lord. Glory to you. I just rejoice in the Lord. Right in the middle of chaos, you can smile and rejoice in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Not rejoice in the thing that you're going through, not rejoice about that, but rejoice in the Lord. Like you got to know him enough to rejoice in him.
Right.
Well, glory to God, my name is still in the book.
Yes.
Everything's okay. Rejoice in the Lord. There's something about rejoicing that sets you up for a healthy mental life.
Yes,
a healthy spiritual life, and even a healthy physical life.
Amen.
A merry heart does good like a medicine.
That's right.
A rejoicing heart stays fresh and free.
Hallelujah.
Rejoicing actually helps you knock the dust and crust off of yourself. There's something about rejoicing in the Lord where it says it several times in the scriptures, and it's part of a spiritual person will be a rejoicing person. A joyful person, a happy person. Not happiness just in the flesh. You know, we're happier when we're eating our favorite fruit and doing our favorite things. So happiness is a good thing, and you can be happy in the Lord.
Right.
A merry heart does good for you. So you can laugh at even, you know, secular jokes. Clean, secular jokes. And that's good for you. It's not bad for you. But rejoicing and joy and happiness is helpful for your spiritual life and your mental life. Again, I say rejoice.
Glory.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Take great joy.
When you're feeling really bad, rejoice. When you're depressed, rejoice. Always. Always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. So even when you don't feel like it, you got to rejoice.
Yep.
And that means if somebody calls you out on how bad you're acting, you have to flip the switch. You got to flip the switch. Somebody calls you out on how bad you've been acting, your bad attitude, and you immediately you're supposed to go, you're right, glory to God, praise the Lord, I'm rejoicing anyway. A true Christian, listen, a Christian submitted to God's word, when called out, won't fight.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
A real Christian will always submit to the word when it's reminded, when the person is reminded.
That's right.
Even if it's your spouse, even in the middle of the biggest argument of the week.
Come on.
Your spouse calls you out and said, you need to rejoice anyway. You should just smile. You're right. Glory to God.
Yes.
Now go make me some coffee. Glory to God. Now go microwave that queso. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your gentleness be known to all men. It could be, let your moderation, one translation says, let your fairness, your gentleness, the New Living says, let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is at hand. So this doesn't mean to post on Facebook, I'm gentle. I'm moderate and considerate. Just letting everybody know. That's not what it means. It means that everybody that meets you should get a taste of gentleness. Everything that you're doing should have gentleness and consideration, moderation, and tangible tenderness with it, let's say. Gentleness with it. It's the way we handle all things. The way you're supposed to handle conflict is not like the world handles it. Some of you need to make sure you break your old self so he doesn't get to act up in line when the whatever's going on or in the traffic. And this is why traffic's an easy place to practice this so that you don't have to be like the world in traffic. How many of you, just this is a good... you can raise your hand. How many of you feel like you have matured in traffic? How many of you are you're scoring an A in your traffic maturity? How many of you are scoring a B? C? Don't put the camera on how many are scoring only a C. Let all the cars on the road know of your gentleness. Let your gentleness be known in all of the streets of Houston. Any F's out there? Any F's? You keep your hand down. But look, that's a good place for you to work on it. It's between you and the Lord and whoever's in the car with you. But it's primarily between you and the Lord. You can fix that. You can be at peace and comfort and full of gentleness and glory no matter what how they're driving. Because we know you're the perfect driver. So you've never, ever done anything to cause a horn to honk. Oh, ye perfect ones. No, it's a great place to practice your love walk and your gentleness and all the fruits of the Spirit is in traffic. So you come back and report when you score an A. We should hand out report cards on several areas of life. It's a good idea. You can grade yourself, not for somebody else to score you, but you can grade yourself. Holy Spirit, what am I scoring in this arena? We did that with our leaders one time. We had all these different church things, and we said, let's score us. You know, just grade us how you think we're doing here at church. And that was the last time I ever did that. Maybe I don't want to know your opinion anymore. All right, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God. All right, so you know the scripture by heart probably. The Amplified says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. How much anxiety do you get to have? None. Of how many things do you get to be anxious about? None. Do you get to be anxious about school tests? No. If I'd have known this in college, oh, it'd have been so much better. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. It actually literally means not even for one thing. Don't be anxious for even one thing. So you can just line all your cares up and decide if you're anxious about them or not. And just decide you're not going to be. Amen. Just throw it off. Just decide, I'm not going to do it. Amen. I'm not going to worry. Casting this to the Lord, committing this to the Lord, not going to worry about it. Not going to be anxious about it, especially if it's not today. Because Jesus said, don't be anxious for tomorrow. It's got enough trouble. You'll deal with it when you get there. It's wise to know that there's a bridge coming, but you certainly don't have to worry whether it's out or not. What are you going to do about it if it's out? Well, just back up, go somewhere else. You'll cross the bridge when you get there. You'll cross the problem when you get there. It doesn't mean you shouldn't plan, but it does mean you shouldn't worry. Don't let your plan turn into anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. And I would say this, that not being anxious is evidence of self-control. You know, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You're supposed to be able to control yourself, control your emotions, control your body, control your mind, control your tongue, all those things. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You're supposed to have that in you. You're supposed to be developing in the fruits of the Spirit, you know, making some tomatoes grow. Self-control is one of those tomatoes or one of those vegetables, one of those fruits. Self-control is how you don't let yourself be anxious. Remember that? In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, says that Paul reasoned with Felix, the governor. He was called before the governor. And he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was afraid and answered, go away from me now, and I'll call you back when I have a convenient time. So Felix didn't like to hear about, unsaved people don't like to hear about the born-again experience changing our lifestyle. But part of this gospel is righteousness, right standing with God, and self-control. So getting saved does not mean you become righteous and keep living however you want. You're supposed to develop self-control. And one of the benefits of being a Christian is you get power to overcome your anxiety.
Hallelujah.
So no Christian, zero Christians should live with anxiety. You should not be worried. Sometimes Christian people get saved and it's like, okay, now stop these flesh sins. But they never fix their brain. And they let their brain just keep on driving their life. Sure, there's some flesh things you need to quit, but also make sure you're doing the internal work. Worrying's bad for you.
Amen.
Anxiety will kill you. Stress will actually make you sick physically.
Yes.
I'm glad that the medical field is finally realizing this, that people that have a mental condition are more susceptible to physical diseases. There's a reason why people end up with mental problems. It's because of an ungoverned mind.
That's right.
If you can't control your thought life, it might lead you into mental deficiency and medication and diagnosis and all these societal problems that we're having because people did not either they didn't know how to control or know they could control their thoughts, or they weren't spiritual enough to tap into the Holy Spirit power and be able to cast every thought down to the obedience, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, okay? So you have to catch thoughts that are wrong, especially worried thoughts, fear thoughts, and cast them down.
Amen.
And if you can start practicing that and getting good at that, you'll start finding that you're healthy.
Right.
In the last days, there's going to be lovers of themselves, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Remember that list of all the disobedient to parents? In the last days, perilous times will come. One of the signs is without self-control. That could mean you're throwing fists when you shouldn't. It could also mean that you're letting yourself be worried and anxious, and you shouldn't. You have a choice to either fret or trust God. You can't do both. You can either fret or you can trust God. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Every time you come to church, your heart's glad. But you could go home and go back to being depressed until the next Sunday. Don't do that. Just keep the word going in you.
Amen.
If you're getting anxious, you're not feeding on the word of God, I guarantee it. If you're getting depressed, you're not feeding on the word of God. Feeding on the word of God is really the beginning of everything for you. Communion with the Spirit around the word of God is where the divine exchange is made.
Right.
It's where you relinquish your weakness and you gain his strength. That doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen because you read the little scripture in the little card that popped out of the bread box. It's where times of refreshing are. It's in the Word empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's where the mending of your soul can happen as you read the Bible. You got to really let the Bible get in, though. You got to let the Word of God take precedent over every emotion, every feeling, every circumstance, every situation. It must take precedent. It must win the race every time. The word has to come first.
Amen.
It's got to override everything else. You've got to, as soon as you hear it or read it or see it, you're supposed to go, oh, that's it. I can't be anxious anymore. That's it. That's it. Now, self, you shut up. That's it. Shut up. I ain't gonna worry. I'm not gonna worry. Holy Spirit, remind me not to worry. Tomorrow, if I start worrying, you remind me. Tomorrow, all of a sudden you're going through your day, and the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you feel a little anxious about something, a little stressed out. You get that nagging feeling on the inside. This bad news might come, and that immediately the Holy Spirit says, "That's it." And you're supposed to go, "No. I ain't worried. I ain't worrying about that. I ain't worried. God's got it. I'm anxious for nothing, and in everything by prayer and supplication." I'm letting my request be made known to God. I already did that, so I'm just keeping it with God.
Amen.
So you got to fight against the anxiety. Hallelujah. Joni's book talks about soul-based fears or demon spirit-based fears. So when you have fears and worry, you can't always just get it cast out of you. You have to commit it to the Lord. You have to go through this passage right here. You have to, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God that He can handle. I mean, if you had a demon of fear, somebody could help you get it cast out. But usually, or many times, it's soul-based. It's in your mind. And a lot of it has to do with your love walk. If you understood God's love, you wouldn't be anxious. If you understood love between people, you wouldn't be anxious about people. If the love of God drove everything, you wouldn't have any fear. Perfect love casts out fear. He that fears or worries or is anxious is not made perfect in love. This is all in 1 John. He that fears or worries or is anxious is not made perfect in love. That means we're deficient in either understanding something about God's love toward us or our love toward others.
Good word. It's good, Pastor.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
If our outward man is broken, if our self-life is laid to rest, then we won't have fear, because fear is really driven by the world. Fear is a worldly anxiety.
Amen.
Or anxiety is really all from the world. It's because we're too fleshy, too carnal.
Tell it.
If we're anxious, it's about the things of the world. Or it's because of our love for the world, and we're losing out, and we're missing something, and something is getting erased or defeated or hindered by the world, and that causes the anxiety. Money, people, job, family, time, schedule, all those things are out there. And that's why you're supposed to be guided with peace in the heart. The peace of God passes all understanding. That's what you're looking for. It's an internal thing, not driven by the outside. Glory. If you don't have self-control, it's kind of like if you can't control your thoughts, if you're missing out on this fruit of the Spirit, self-control, it's like you're on a bicycle going downhill. Now, if you grew up in Houston, you don't know what that feels like. But if you grew up in San Francisco or somewhere else, going down a hill on a bicycle can be dangerous. Especially if a foot slips off the pedal, and then the thing's going like this, and you can't catch up, you're out of control going down a hill. You can't stop yourself. That's what it's like when people can't govern their outward man. When their spirit man is not strong enough, their outward man rules. So when you're not strong on the inside, you can't stop your out of control bike. So your brain just freaks out and stresses out, and you got to take medication or find, you got to do something to control it from the outside, because you didn't control it from the inside. Your spirit is supposed to control your soul.
Amen.
The real you is supposed to be strong enough to shut your brain up.
Right.
And so you see here, there's a little list. This is a list. This is a little short list of spiritual health tips. First tip, spiritual health, rejoice in the Lord always.
Hallelujah.
Second spiritual tip, be gentle everywhere and always with all people. Third tip, be anxious for nothing. Fourth tip, with prayer and supplication, let your prayer replace your worries. Fifth, thank God a lot with thanksgiving. Yes. Live a life of gratefulness and thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Then the result will be you get the peace of God. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So the final thing is think on right things. This is how you have health mentally. This is how you can shore up your mental health. Follow this passage right here. We'll do more on it next time. Amen. I'm done. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So, stop worrying. Now listen, I'm telling you to stop worrying. Now why don't you tell yourself to stop worrying? The words out of your mouth have power. So this is how you do it. Let's practice it. Say, stop worrying.
Stop worrying.
Self, you just stop worrying.
Self, you just stop
I refuse
worrying.
To be anxious anymore. That's a good start. That's a good start. Now, next time we'll talk about prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and then that will complete the solution for you. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Listen, the words out of your mouth can shut your mind up.
Amen.
Your mind's thinking all these things. Your heart and your mouth need to start saying something different. And it'll... If you'll spend 5 minutes, it will take over and make yourself stop worrying.
Yeah.
Start quoting Psalm 3. Start quoting any scripture that we've read tonight.
Amen.
Out of your mouth, out loud in times of crisis. And all of a sudden, you'll find that the peace of God bubble is right back there. Wow. I feel good. But you got to say it out of your mouth. Your mouth has power in it. A lot of times, people try to think their way out of anxiety. It won't work. You cannot think your way out. You have to speak your way out.
Amen.
Taking every thought captive requires your mouth.
Right.
Jesus didn't just ignore the devil when he tempted him. Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to worry about it. No, Jesus said something. Then he said something again. Then he said something again. And then finally the devil left. If you resist the devil with your mouth, with your heart in your mouth, the devil will flee.
Amen.
All the lies, all the fears, all the what ifs, all the what if nots, every time they come, you resist it with your own words and the devil will flee from you.
Yeah.
Glory.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.